The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. Jim here.
Clinical muscle starts. The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. VJ Puri, and along with me, as always, Dr. Stephen Ogden. How you doing, Doc?
Good morning, my brother. Good morning.
You sound even better this time. Now we've got some other stuff situated, and now you sound you're a pro now, is what you are.
Well, I don't know if I'm a pro, but
podcasting pro.
Work in progress. So I got, you know, after I got the new equipment, which I didn't post that up. I should do that when we post this show. But you know, last week I was recording in my room that I usually record on when I use a headset. And so the distance between the microphone and my and the new microphone and me was, you know, I didn't change it. So it sounded good when you were talking to me. And then when the show came out, we weren't happy with the sound quality, guys. So we're hoping to this week made a little change. I'm in a room that's actually smaller and may actually be a little better for acoustics, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting in a corner and the microphone's, you know, where it's supposed to be up on my, and I never used a microphone before, so I wasn't sure how sensitive they were or how not sensitive they were. So hopefully it sounds better this week.
Yeah. Well, it already does. It already does. I was like hesitating when I made the intro just now. I don't know if you listened to that podcast with Joe Rogan when he had some lady on there, Yvette something or other, who's like a clinical researcher, a chemical engineer of some sort, and she was like, basically they were like bad mouthing chiropractic for like the first hour and a half of the show or whatever. So I was like, oh man, do I call myself a doctor anymore? I don't even really know what to do.
We don't really fucking care, do we?
No, I guess it's great. Did you get a chance to listen to that podcast at all, or no?
I didn't, but I saw someone tagged you on that. I gotta check that. I meant to, but I, you know, gotta get. Sometimes I get overloaded with information.
I know. Just listen to the first 45 minutes. It's pretty. They slammed the shit out of chiropractic and they slammed the shit out of its origins, which I think is hilarious because I agree. I agree with a lot of the stuff that they say, but also it's like the longer she talks, the more I realize, oh man, she's kind of an idiot, you know?
I mean, you're going to have your people out there who are just haters no matter what. See, I'm being an osteopath. I'm open-minded. Yeah. So I've always known or felt that, you know, everyone has their place. Chiropractors go to school and learn things, learn what they learn, and they do what they do. Now, I know there's different levels where there's guys that will completely go off the deep edge and talk about they can cure. I'm gonna be drastic here, but they can cure your asthma by adjusting your lungs.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's face the facts. That's bullshit.
No, complete bullshit. Absolutely. Yeah.
But, you know, an injury, a back, neck, arm, any joint problem, I think they have at least. Could help someone. Like I do, I think osteopathic manipulation helps people a lot, and they're similar. Yeah. I just have the benefit that if you don't get better, I can write you for some medicine and send you to physical therapy and order an MRI.
Right. Yeah. Right. See. You know? Yeah. And actually, she was backing the idea of osteopaths. She loves osteopaths. You know, she has her own DO that she sees, and she loves them. And she's like, I highly recommend you going to get a spinal manipulation from a DO because they know what they're doing. I was like, well, as far as you know, chiropractic, you know, adjustments and manipulations. We're pretty good. We should be. There's a lot of shitty chiros out there, but I like to believe I'm one of the good ones as far as my technique goes, because I don't use any tools or anything. It's all with hands. And I think that's where it kind of like where people get like the misconception, you know, that oh, you know, they're crazy because they're using all these tools to adjust me, and you know, they're adjusting little infant babies and stuff with tools and stuff. And there's just so many of that breed out there, giving all the other chiropractors a really bad name. Unfortunately, they're the majority. So yeah, I kind of get where she's coming from and stuff, but she was just like, you know, bashing our education and stuff. Let me tell you something about our education. Now, I agree with her on most stuff, but she was like, oh, I think they have like one or two anatomy courses. I was like, get bitch, are you crazy?
Yeah, that's got to be the majority of the well, I can tell you one thing I'm going to chime in on when you're done this part. Yeah. I got to check that out. What was her like sort of credentials? Who was this lady?
She's a clinical researcher of some kind. Her name is I'm going to have to pull it up, but her name is Yvette something or other, and I don't know. She's not well liked, I want to say, by a lot of people. She's like she's kind of a shit disturber, really, is what she is, you know.
Yeah.
She's just like, I don't know. She writes these articles, and she you know, she's it's very one-sided. She doesn't really give a, you know, she doesn't, it's not like like any like peer-reviewed stuff or anything, you know. I mean, it's just she writes these articles, and it's completely slanted in one direction. Her name is Yvette D'Entremont, so she's looks like it's French origin, but
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Well,
let me add
something in there about her comment on osteopaths. Yeah. I will completely and 100% disagree with her.
Yeah,
and the reason being is because okay, number one, I agree with her that if you find an osteopath who does a manipulation for a living, you are in really good hands because you still have that sort of backup that doctor's, quote, a doctor and can do other things. But I will bet you any amount of money that the percent of doctors who graduate with a doctor of osteopathic medical degree, none of them, low to 20% probably do OMT for a living. Mm-hmm. The other 80% study it when it's time to take their boards,
right?
Like me.
Right. Exactly. Like you just did, right?
So if you were going to ask me who would I rather adjust my back right now, today, me or you, I would say you, because you've done way more adjustments than I have. I've done adjustments in school when I had to take them for boards and when my family and kids want me to do them.
Right. Yep.
And occasionally I've done them in the office. You know, when I was in family practice, urgent care, am I manipulating anyone? Come on. No. I don't even got time to set them up.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with that statement. And I think that's maybe her clinical research. She didn't do much clinical research on that statement.
Yeah. You know, I think she's I've got the link pulled up here. She's like an analytical,
I'm sure she could critique an article better than me. That's for sure.
Right.
I don't know about her.
Here, she's a former analytical chemist. She's a public speaker, science blogger, has a background in forensics and toxicology. So I don't know if that qualifies her for understanding anatomy and physiology a whole lot. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But the fact that she said that we take one or two anatomy and physiology courses is completely bullshit. Like, that's fucking crazy. Our entire first 3 years is nothing but anatomy and physiology. We don't even get into like the like spinal manipulations until like later on in the curriculum, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the basis of that specialty sort of is anatomy and physiology.
Yeah,
how things crazy. Work together, and you can't.
And these were not fucking like, you know, bird courses. You know, these were tough, man. We had spinal anatomy 1, spinal anatomy 2, gross anatomy 1, gross anatomy 3. We had, you know, biochemistry 1, biochemistry. It's like all that bare bones, basic, you know, science based. That's going to make you a good doctor. With understanding physiology, understanding your anatomy, understanding your musculoskeletal system, your nervous system. Man, we had. We had like 3 classes on CNS, 3, you know, on PNS. It's like, fuck. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if I could go back and go through any of the courses that I ever took, I would go through and redo some of those CNS courses, because those are some of the best courses ever put together as far as understanding, you know, your central nervous system and peripheral nervous system and how important they are. I understand the whole fucking, you know, foot on the hose theory. I don't believe that shit. I don't think that you can go to your chiro and have him, you know, cure your asthma or cure your pancreatitis or something. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's definitely not true.
Those people are fucking nuts. And anyone who thinks that the chiropractors can do that are also nuts. So they can, you know, get together and get married or something. But that's complete bullshit. And that's what I agree with. Unfortunately, like the original science was based on shit like that from our founder, who was D.D. Palmer, who was a kind of a crazy guy. Like, I think he was insane, actually, you know?
Well, that's funny because that's the same sort of thing as osteopaths. I mean, the founder, A.T. Still, he was a doctor. He was an allopath.
There you go.
He was an MD who sort of sprouted off on his own sort of journey because he felt like he could fix things without using medicine and whatever. And he thought he could fix things by putting the body in its, you know, perfectly lined and lymphatics and the bones and the nerves by adjustments and stuff like that. And that's 100 years ago. And now I'm telling you right now, I can name the top, maybe I can't name off the top of my head, but I can guarantee the top 10, top 20, 30, 40, 50 people who graduated from my school, none of them are doing OMT. In fact, they're probably replacing joints and shit like that.
Right. they're doing normal doctor shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. They don't got time to do that. But neither here nor there. Yeah, I think sounded a little bit biased.
Give it a listen. It's worth listening to
I meant to. Someone tagged you and I was like, I gotta fucking listen to that.
Just to hear it, as asinine as it could be, or if you agree with it, it doesn't, you know, it's someone's opinion, really. And I know Joe Rogan's not a fan of chiropractors either, and I get where he's coming from too, because you know he attributes his ideas back to the origins of chiropractic, and honestly, the origins of chiropractic are very fucking shady. I'll say so myself, you know. So I mean, but you know, that was like 100 years ago, right? So things change, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and things progress, and you know, things become peer reviewed and evidence based, you know. So as far as musculoskeletal systems go, chiropractors can still do a pretty fucking good job, man. You know. So.
Oh man, I get you know feedback from patients, you know, I have two guys around me that I trust here in Delaware, You know, I get mixed reviews, but if you know who the right guys are to send your patients to, your patients will be in good hands. That's the key. You're going to get these guys who are just a little bit wacko.
Of course.
And they're going to, you know, but then I have some really good relationships with two guys in my area who are completely legit. They do their job that they were taught in medical school and they get people better, man. And if they don't, they send them to the right people. They don't fucking keep trying to adjust them until they hurt them, or just keep them there for the cash flow.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the issue right there. A lot of that, you know, you keeping people coming back 3, 4, 5 times a week. Do they really need to come back 3 times a week? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a cash flow problem sometimes too.
That was one of the whole reasons why I kind of got out. The whole business ethics thing kind of changed, you know, after I graduated. It became like, just a cash grab business, really. You know what I mean? Like you would basically convince a patient that they were dying and they needed to see you 3 times a week, you know, just to keep that cash flow coming. And I was like, I refuse to do that shit, you know. And in the meantime, fucking, you know, Dr. A-hole down the street is bringing in all these patients and doing that shit and seeing patients four times a week, you know, for I don't know how many weeks on their preventative maintenance plan. I'm using air quotes, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm over here being like, no, you just once a week is good depending on what you got going on. Come see me in 2 weeks. Let's see how it goes. We'll reevaluate, you know, we'll do some ART on you. You know, you got to go train. You got to go work out. You got to work those muscles. You know, you got to do something. You can't just rely on these adjustments to, you know, solve all your problems. It's not going to work. You know, I'm over here telling the truth. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. I had really good patient retention. I did pretty well, but just knowing that I'm up against these these fucking assholes who are telling patients the most drastic, retarded things, it left a really bad taste in my mouth. I didn't want to be associated with that business at all. You know what I mean? So that was I understand where she's coming from, because that rubs me the wrong way too, you know? So
I got to listen. That's funny, because, you know, that goes in all businesses and the business of medicine. I can give you some examples from, quote, medicine, where I've had that. So you go in, you see your doctor once a year to get your physical, right?
Sure.
You're a 30-year-old guy with no medical problems. Okay. You just want your blood work done, your lipid profile, your blah, 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 blah. So long story short is I've come across those kind of scenarios in my career many times, where the doctor who they were seeing before was doing an EKG on them once a year and, you know, ordering this test. And when it basically all this unnecessary shit that I know is for reimbursement. You know, if you get right. And I'm like, dude, he did an EKG on you once a year. Like every time he was like, yeah, that's because he got paid $50 to do that every time he did it. And he's doing that on everybody. So that shady shit goes on even in medicine, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Were you having chest pain? No. He said I should get one once a year for the rest of the time. I'm like, yeah, why you're seeing him? You're not getting one when you're seeing me.
Yeah,
I mean, that's retarded. I mean, who gets an EKG once a year? I mean, that's like a – you don't even do them as baseline. There's not a recommendation to baseline EKG everyone. I mean, if you have somebody who has a history of coronary artery disease or has had chest pain or is having something like that, yeah, that's what you – it's not part of a physical. You know, and then other stuff like, you know, anything that you could – when you see someone doing something in the office over and over and over again as a routine, mm-hmm. that's moneymaker.
Big red flag, yeah. I mean, yeah. The same thing could be said about, you know, orthopedic surgeons. I've got one of my very good friends, like a brother to me, is an orthopedic surgeon. I would send people to him, you know, hand over fist, you know, because I know he's going to do a good job. We're on the same page. We understand each other's practice. We understand – a patient outcomes, you know, whereas in this at the same time, you know, when I was referring patients out, you know, they would go and choose their own doctor. And these orthopedic surgeons, man, a lot of them just want to cut. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of what's going on, it's like, oh, we got to prep you for surgery. You need this. You need this. You know, it's like, no, they don't. They're just, I mean, you know, like I said, there's good doctors everywhere. And this lady's opinion on chiropractors is her own opinion. But the same shit can be said about any medical doctor. Same shit can be said about any orthopedic surgeon. You know what I mean? So it's like.
I totally agree. I mean, I can tell you, in my area, I when I hear certain doctors' names, when patients come in and tell me who their doctor is, I'm like, now I know why you're here.
Right? Yeah, same thing. I distinctly remember rolling my eyes several times a day. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, it doesn't matter if they're an MD, DO, DC. Right. Even, you know, another field that gets a bad rap that I think's bullshit and like, again, can go either way is podiatry.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, them guys, I got two podiatrists in my area right now. I mean, there's tons of them, but I'm saying I have two that I would recommend in my area that, dude, I think are better than most of the foot orthos around here. These guys are legit.
Sure.
So when I have a foot break or a foot issue or an ankle issue even, I'll refer to these two guys before I'll refer to the local couple ortho guys, you know, because I just feel like they've done great work and their patients come back happy. And so that's another field that can get a bad rap, podiatry. Why? Because they're, quote, doctors, but they didn't go to, quote, medical school. Dietary school. And that's what I think that all stems from. Same with chiropractors, same with optometrists. But to see, these people chose their profession. So they should be, you know,
I didn't actually know that. So podiatrists are not MDs.
They're DPMs.
DPMs. Gotcha. And they never.
They didn't do it. Well, they can do a residency, but they don't have to.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So. They do have podiatric foot residencies, and that's like if they do that, that's usually the ones that come out better, because basically all they do for the year or two that they do it is surgery, 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 surgery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They can even get like certified up to the knee if they do like a fellowship. So yeah, I mean, but they aren't DOs or MDs. They're DPMs. They went to podiatry.
Now they can't perform any surgeries or anything either, right?
No, they do foot and ankle surgery. Most
no
of them.
No shit. Wow.
No, they're surgeons. Most of them are surgeons. So yeah, no, that's they do surgery. They're in the OR.
I had no idea. That's great.
You obviously have good ones and bad ones. So sure. Do your research and talk to your family doctor about it. I happen to have a good relationship with lots of people. And I guess I'm fortunate in Delaware that I grew up here and I've been in the medical field. And I've only been a doctor technically since 2000. I went to medical school in 2001, right? But before that, for 7 years, I was a respiratory therapist. So I met everyone knows me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You know, I've been in the medical field for God, 1996 till now. So I got the fortune to see the good guys, the bad guys, learn who's who. So I know who to refer to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what you got to do your research on. And it goes for chiropractors too.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Who, what's the, I'm like blanking here, but the skin doctors, what are skin doctors called?
Dermatologist.
Dude, that's the biggest racket of it all. You know what I mean? They do. I mean, I you know, bless their hearts because there are some really good some skin doctors out there. But most of the men are and they have it made. You know what I mean? As far as like their daily schedule goes and reimbursements and being able to charge cash, you know, to patients and stuff. They have it made. But man, there are some fucking retarded skin doctors out there. Like, I was in school, and I went with one of my buddies who was having acne issues, and we went to go see this doctor, and he's like, what supplements are you taking? He sees we're bodybuilders, right? He says, oh, what supplements are you taking? He's like, oh, I'm just protein right now and branching amino acids during my workout. And the doctor was like, oh, well, there's your problem right there. Those branching amino acids are not being digested, and they're coming out of your skin. I was dumbfounded. I'm like, you know, I'm a college student, and I'm reading right through the bullshit. I'm like, let's go, let's get out of here. This guy is fucking insane. And he's an MD. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? That I will venture to say is the most sought after residency for people. It's the hardest residency for us to get, I would say, one of them. And you nailed it. Why? Because everything is a procedure. Uh-huh. Everything is money. Everything is cash. And the lifestyle is cushy. Right. There's only one, and you can look this up, dermatologic emergency in medicine. It's called Steven Johnson syndrome. Mm. And that doesn't happen all that often. And then people end up in a burn unit. And so a dermatologist lifestyle is 8 to 5. He doesn't get any emergency calls.
Yeah, no hospitals, none of that bullshit.
Skin right? checks all day, and he goes and checks you from head to toe. And if he sees 5 spots, he burns them off or scrapes them off, and they're all money.
All in-house procedures, right?
Laid back. And so that is a sought-after residency. You know, coming out of medical school, a lot of people try to get into that and don't get into it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I heard. I hear the same thing about endocrinology, although that has always interested me. And I kick myself for not having gone that path because I fucking love endocrinology. But yeah, there's a lot of shitty endocrinologists out there that basically all they do is deal with diabetics now. But I mean, you know, there's a whole branch of endocrinology that is just super fascinating, you know.
Yeah, if I was into what I'm into now, bodybuilding and all that, like hardcore in medical school, but I had another path doing there. I never even thought about endocrinology. But that's something obviously now I would have been like, that would have been a good residency for me. But my true passion when I was going to go to medical school before, I mean, I decided on family medicine only simply because of time. I can't lie. Mm-hmm. I needed to get it done and get out of them. I was already in my 30s, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Christine was like, fuck you. You ain't staying in much more than 3 years, so you better do a 3-year residency. We already got a house. We got a kid on the way. Or we already had a kid. Sorry.
Yeah, we got kids to feed over here. Come on.
But my passion is pulmonology, actually. If I would have went to school the proper way and wasn't a knucklehead and, you know, wasn't a crazy fucking teenager who did all the wrong shit, if I did the regular 4 years of medical school, 4 years of, excuse me, 4 years bachelor, 4 years of medical school, right into residency at 24, 25 years old, I would have absolutely did pulmonary medicine. And that's because of my nephew who died of cystic fibrosis. And that's why I got into respiratory therapy.
Right.
So it's all a crazy path I took, you know, one thing led to another. So anyway, here I am in my office doing clinical muscles.
All roads lead back to podcasting, doesn't it?
I gotta say though, the road that I've been on has been pretty crazy, but I, you know what? It's led me to some pretty cool shit.
And, yeah, for sure.
And this is one of them, man. I mean, getting with you guys and meeting you guys and doing this show, and even Matt, you know, getting Matt Meinrod, I got to give him credit. I mean, the Medical Muscle, the original was Matt Meinrod. He just reached out to me, and, you know, because Dave, and just weird how shit works, you know?
Oh, totally.
So it's
totally
weird how life takes turns and you end up doing something. You're like, I mean, I didn't know. I remember listening to you guys all the time, and I was like, I never thought about getting on a radio show. Who the fuck am I, you know? And then, yeah, one thing leads to another. It's crazy. So
it's wild. I wouldn't change it.
You know?
No, of course not. Of course not. That's, you know.
But that would have been, if like I tell my daughter, she has the opportunity to do things perfectly, right? The right way.
Sure.
Like not like her dad, which I'm here to show her all the wrong shit I did, you know? Like,
yeah. Hopefully she picks up on that, you know what I mean? It's like people, kids especially, it's hard for them to learn any other way other than the hard way. You know what I mean?
It's true. Speaking of that, I got an update on the party last week.
I saw, and I called that shit. I called that shit right away. I was like, it's not a party unless there's joints being rolled or someone's getting,
right.
Someone's getting drunk.
So after the this dude, I was like, oh, if this only happened while we were recording the show, it would have been gold because of what you said. So I open the door and walk out, and Christine's standing there and looks down on the counter, and you were like, I was like, I was so proud of these kids. Nobody, no alcohol. They were playing ping pong. And you're like, dude, there was weed somewhere. Somebody had weed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, everything's fine. So I can't speculate on if there was illegal activities going on, but Christine found some blunt wrappers in the yard. So I don't know if they were just smoking cigars out there or what, but
they got the good stuff. No cigars.
It didn't smell like skunks or anything, but I'm assuming
something
went on out there, some CBD or something. Now next time I'm going to put my sniffers on.
Yeah.
I want to be checking pupils at the door. I'm looking for that dilated pupils and those red eyes.
They were celebrating 420 at the Ogden's house. That's what was going on. Yeah.
Good. With the cops next door and everything.
Wow.
Cops on every corner, dude. I got state police sergeants everywhere.
Nobody cares about weed anymore. You know what I mean? It's like it's being legalized everywhere. And it's a fucking Canada as a country is legalizing it. You know what I mean?
So it's like
cops don't give a shit about that anymore. You know, they'll probably fucking help you roll a good joint, you know, instead. So
as soon as I walked out and she showed me, I was like, if only you brought this in the middle of the show, that would have been golden. Because you said it, you caught it. Now, like I said, maybe they just, you know, like a good cigar. I don't know. But it was, I think some other shenanigans might have been going on when I wasn't paying attention.
Yep. That's what's happening. I can tell you.
First, I was sitting out there all night.
Yeah. Right under your nose, too.
Yeah, I thought the kids were leaving. They probably were walking down the street is what they were doing.
Right, yeah. Or lighting up in someone's neighbor's yard or something, you know.
Yeah, the police officers everywhere. Dude, I got cops on every – my neighborhood is like the state trooper heaven.
Jeez. Well, nice.
And I'm happy about that. Right? They're all my friends, and they all got guns.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, you know, I don't like guns.
Yeah, I know. I'm Canadian, so I don't like – naturally, I don't like guns. It's not that I don't like guns. It's that I'm not comfortable around them is all.
Yeah, okay, yeah, let me rephrase that. I think guns are cool looking.
Me
and
too.
I think everyone has the right to bear arms just like this country was, you know, supposed to.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've had some sort of, you know, trauma in my life in the past with people getting shot and killed, a couple friends and bull crap like that. And I can feel when someone has a gun just to show me, like, even if they bought a brand new gun, my anxiety level when it's just like, okay, cool, man, put that away. No, it's empty. You know, I was like, I've heard too many of them fucking stories that were empty and the shit goes off because someone bumps their elbow on the door or something and then someone gets shot in the head.
Yeah, dude. So that's like where I'm kind of coming from. It's like Murphy's Law applies to my life a lot. You know what I mean? Like if shit can go sideways, it will go sideways. You know what I mean? And I don't need to be around like sharp stuff or guns or anything. And it's not because I don't trust anybody else to have them. It's because I don't trust myself around them, man. So I could just be like, oh, hey, I want to see what that feels like in my hand. And then it goes off. You know what I mean? And someone's getting shot in the foot or something, you know? It's like, that's the kind of shit that I worry about. And that's usually what happens to me anyways. So I just keep it out of my life, you know. But like you said, I think they're cool as hell. You know, I've got friends with guns, and it always looks like fun to go to like a shooting range and stuff. And I always get a little envious when I see that shit on Instagram or Facebook. People at the gun ranges, and they're, you know, they're popping off over there. It looks fun, you know, target practice.
But, hell yeah! But hey, listen, yeah. I got someone who just walked in the room and he's smiling, and I told him what I'm doing. He wants to say hi. He's a big fan of the Nerds. Say
no
hi,
shit.
It's Big Country.
Hey, VJ.
Hey, kiddo. How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for supporting the Bodybuilding Nerds, and you know, believe it or not, your dad is way more popular than any of us. So
I never would have guessed.
he's the proud child, because he's the man.
I am.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he said we're doing some recording. I said want to say hi. He said yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, the first time you guys reviewed Medical Muscle on Bodybuilding Nerds, I had it on in the camper, and he's like, "They said your name."
yeah, Dr. Ogden, T. Ogden, it's becoming legendary, you know.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Good talking to you, Stevie.
He said, "Good talking to you."
You too.
See ya. Doc, one more thing I got to ask you. I got to ask you how your summer's going, because I'm always envious of your backyard parties, your pool parties, and stuff like that, and you know, so I you know, I'm over here, you know, eating like, you know, ice water and fucking tuna fish and dieting, trying to get dieted down a little bit more, and you're over there living it up. I'm like so envious, you know. I want to know how is the summer going?
Oh man, it's been a lot of fun, just chilling and having fun. We love the summer, but you know, but there's a downfall to everything. I mean, you're looking your picture yesterday, dude. I don't know, man. Me and Mr. McNally might need to get you back into the motion. You're looking good, dude. The classic physique would be perfect. You'd be ready, man. So there's a downfall to everything. While you're looking awesome, I'm starting to look like Fat Steve again, which is fine.
Fat Steve.
There ain't a definition in my body, but it's all good. Cause you know what? I actually think, it's good for me to do that. Like my body likes it, and I am eating, and I still eat good. You know that, but like we're going out to dinner and we're having fun and we're having some cocktails here and there and stuff like that. But you know, it's two, three months of the year. I just let myself do that. And, you know, I'm not jumping on the scale every day.
I'm totally with you. I totally get it. And that's basically what my life comes to when football season rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just about enjoying my weekends, enjoying some food, not worrying about, you know, having, you know, six pack abs. And, you know, I don't worry about just getting a little bit sloppy or whatever, because I'm enjoying life. And I you know, it would be honestly, it'd be fun to be able to do that in the summer. It's just that I'm like, you know, a fucked up bodybuilder in the head, right? So I'm thinking, oh man, the vanity comes out, and I'm like, nah, if my shirt's gonna be off, I cannot look, you know, fat in any shape or form. You know what I mean? So,
you know what? Yeah, this is, I'm so fucking backwards. I in the summertime, I go to shit, and then I diet and I look all good. And the only time I can, you know, someone sees me is at night with my shirt off, or if I take a selfie or something. But, and then, but you know, what's funny this year, I got to admit though, this year things have been a little different. I'm actually having trouble. I mean, if I want, you know, I hear and following some other folks who are, you know, in a growth phase or whatever you want to call it, I hear people like their weight's getting up to two this, two that. And I, you know, my body right now, I'm still around 212, and I honestly am eating. And the fact is, if I go higher, it's only going to be fatter.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So for me, I'm just trying to maintain where I'm at right now. What I'm doing is good. I don't know if you saw it, but I showed Scott my fifth meal on the run last night at work.
What was it?
I had, I ate 8 ounces of grilled chicken.
Oh, I saw that picture. That's right. I totally glossed over it.
And a Best Bar ever.
That's a fucking solid meal, man. I like that.
I know. Listen, it was perfect. It was my 7 o'clock meal. I nailed it. Took that. And usually that would be, you know, if I was dieting, that would be 8 ounces of chicken and lettuce. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, right.
So that's really the kind of difference. And then, you know, doing a couple different things after I train, I'm doing a lot more carbs and stuff like that. So I think that's, you know, I think that's what's doing it. And, you know, it's fun, but I mean, me and Chrissy are both already like, oh, when is this going to be over?
I see that. But you need that. You know what I mean? Because you got to remember what that feels like, you know, and that's what kind of motivates you into like a dieting phase afterwards, you know. It's funny because, I mean, you and I are very similar in the fact that we put on body fat pretty quickly, you know what I mean? And yep. And it's just like, naturally, our bodies don't want to be lean. And it's not that we don't want to be lean. It's that we can't stay lean. You know what I mean? It's like you will
without pushing everything.
Yeah, without pushing everything. And you do have only a certain time frame in which you can be lean. It's like because eventually it'll catch up with you, whether it's injuries, hormonal crashing, fucking, you know, anything, you know. It's just like it will catch up with you to where, you know, you will end up putting body fat on, even if you are eating minuscule amounts, you know what I mean? Because that's our body's set point. We're not naturally lean people, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like our body is always going to kind of want to revert back, no matter what we're doing, to that fatter stage. So it's really wise for us, you know, to be able to take a few months out of the year and just not get super fat. I don't ever think it's a good idea.
Like,
you know,
I said,
what I mean?
I'm 212.
Yeah, so. And just to enjoy some food, enjoy life, keep training, obviously. Do your cardio, you know, expend the energy and stay as lean as you can. But that being said, you know, a little bit of extra body fat for guys like us will only help us in our next dieting phase. You know what I mean?
Well, I can tell you this: every year that I do this and then I diet, and if I'm doing a show or if I'm not doing a show, every year I do this, which is a positive for me, is that when I diet the next time, I look better than I did the year before. It's been every year. It's been different every year, better and better and better and better. And even now it's like I said, I'm eating a lot of food and my body weight isn't going up. I was telling Chrissy the other day, in February, maybe the last time I was really heavy or big, when I tried to, you know, I was like bulking like crazy, and I don't think I was eating much more than I am now. I don't even know how I did it, but I think it was around February of 15, maybe 15 or 14. I was like 240 something.
Yeah.
I don't know how much I'd have to eat to get there again. And I think it's just a metabolic change. And, you know, I don't know. I think over the years of doing that, your body starts to get a new set point of leanness if you keep doing that. So,
yeah.
But like, if I wanted to go up that high, like, you know, I would definitely have to probably start pigging out, and it wouldn't be worth it for me because that's what I was doing. I was trying to get that hot. I was trying to get that heavy. So, you know, I was eating whatever I really wanted to. And even now I'm not eating everything I want to. I eat pretty much perfect all day long, like tuna and lettuce and freaking rice. And then it's at night, we'll go out to dinner and have a dessert. Basically that's it. I mean, that's how we do it.
That's
and
good.
Then of course I don't eat bars or shakes that much when I'm dieting. I don't do it at all. Now I'm, oh my God, dude, I'm now addicted to the best bar ever. And you know what? that's been my lately for the last like 2 weeks. That's been my pre-workout meal, which is my breakfast meal. And it's perfect. Cause I don't like to be super full when I train. I don't like to feel full because too many carbs and all that shit makes me feel sluggish.
Yeah.
So like I'll always just have a little bit of oatmeal and some egg whites, you know. But I've been just waiting until I get right before the gym, have one of them, and man, it's been working out great. My stomach feels good. I got enough energy to get through. Because I think I'm one of them people. I don't know who I was listening to recently. It might have been the guys at Beast Fitness who were talking about, you know, maybe it was just Alex. I don't know, but just talking about, you know, everyone's different when it comes to carbs. And I think my body stores glycogen really easily.
Very. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Guys like us are a little more on the endomorphic side. We can store, you know, minimal amounts of glycogen and get pretty full. You know what I mean? As far as muscle bellies go.
And that's all I need is what's in me to get through. I don't need to have 50 grams, you know, 50 grams of carbs pre, intra, and post, or 100 or to get through my workout. Not me. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but no,
I also don't use insulin either. So I don't know how that would work out.
Yeah. You know, even if you did, I would bet my life that you would only just get fatter. That's my goal. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think from my reading through bodybuilding and everything like that, it's my understanding that if you're an endomorph, that's a bad thing for you to even attempt, because you're just going to put on bat. And I said it before, I'm fucking Barney Rubble, dude. I'm like Fred Flintstone, one or the other.
Yeah, we're already pretty like insulin sensitive. You know what I mean? Like it's like we don't necessarily need to. Like if you're an ectomorph, you're a real skinny guy, naturally very lean, you have a hard time putting on muscle. Those guys are metabolically perfect for insulin use for bodybuilding purposes, because you know the uptake of glucose, the transport of amino acids and proteins, and all this other stuff, and minimal fat gain. You know, because their receptors on their muscle cells and liver are so sensitive, whereas they don't have much fat to begin with. They're just set up just right for that. And if you notice, a lot of these guys, even the pros and guys like Meadows, even like that do a lot of the intra workout stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm.
If you take all that away, they're naturally just very lean people, you know? So,
right.
So, I mean, exactly. So they're already kind of set up for that. Whereas if I were to do that, I would be fucking 265 and just Michelin man fat, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt. You don't, and you'd hold water like nuts.
Oh, for sure. I don't have any hopes of ever doing that shit. I don't, there's no reason for it.
One thing I think, and I mean, I can disclose this because it's a prescription. So one thing I think over the last 2 years or so helped me with, maybe not even that, maybe the last year, is my you know, I started myself on metformin at bedtime, 500, and prescription because I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
Because my morning blood sugars were like 90s, you know, all the time, and my mom's type 2 diabetic, and then I read so much good stuff about it, and I've been reading more and more about the longevity issues. So, you know, that may be the reason why I'm staying a little bit leaner than I usually do when I eat like this. I don't know, but that's I got, you know, I'm going to say that because I think that may have something to do with it, because my blood sugars have been way better, because I, you know, obviously I can go to work and check my blood sugar and blood pressure and everything else.
Yeah,
80
right.
million. I'm very fortunate that way. I can do what I can check my urine for protein every single day. If I'm worried about my kidneys, I can check my, you know,
right.
So
that's awesome.
I don't do that because the girls would probably start to think I was dying or something.
Yeah, or you're a hypochondriac. One of the
two. Yeah, yeah. And I actually, there was always a lot of people talking about metformin and this and that and the benefits and the, so if that's making a difference, then for me, it's worth it for me. So
yeah, I like it. I like to use that too. I've got, I only use like, I think it comes down to like 222 milligrams of metformin. I use that first thing in the morning with my first meal, which is just protein. And it sets my blood sugar up for the rest of the day where there's no dips and valleys, you know, and I'm good. And I eat carbs, you know, I right now I'm dieting on like 190 grams of carbs, no fats. Right. But you know, I think it's still that 190 grams of carbs. There's not a lot of, you know, people can't necessarily always diet on that much carb, you know, but
right.
But with that metformin, it does keep my blood sugars really stable throughout the day, all the way into the nighttime. So I love it. I think it's great.
And I know about all the, you know, potential IGF-1 issues and this and that, but, you know, as far as muscle gaining, and for me, I bet that's almost negligible.
Me too, exactly.
In the grand scheme of things, I would say that my blood sugar and my overall health is probably way more important than me than a quarter ounce of muscle that it might affect.
Right, yeah. And honestly, I just don't think I can see that affecting like an ectomorph or a mesomorph more so than guys like us anyways, just because our ability to retain lean mass is already pretty good. You know what I mean? Just naturally.
I just heard a phone ringing.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, that's what it was. My phone just rang through the computer. I don't even know how the hell it did that. Oh, speaking of the computer, I had the video on this morning. So you got a tour and a live feed of the puppies in the house.
I did. Beautiful place, beautiful wife, beautiful dogs, wonderful children. You got it.
And she had on the Nerds t-shirt again, which is ironic. She did not set that up. Dude, that's a great female t-shirt. If you guys still have them, if girls are listening, that shirt is perfect.
It's like stretchy enough. It'll looks good. It tapers. The taper looks really good on women. And we've got smalls and mediums. We still have a bunch of those. So yeah, if anyone's listening, you want those, we can send them out, man. No problem.
Oh shit.
But Doc, what do you say we take a quick break and then tackle some questions?
I'm good. Yeah, let's do that.
Cool.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
And we are back. Let's tackle some questions, Doc. Straight from the Advices Radio Network forums. You can go to forum.advicesradio.com. Submit your questions right there. There's a sticky right there for Clinical Muscle. You can, you know, submit your questions there. Also, clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. Those are the best two places, guys. If any of your questions got dropped because they aren't on those two venues, I apologize, but it does happen. Unfortunately, people will contact me through Instagram and Facebook, and you know I kind of drop the ball. You know, I've got, you know, juggling 13 things at once. It's tough for me to be able to redirect the traffic. But if you could do us a favor and go to those two venues for questions, submissions, that would help us out a lot. And of course, nothing would get dropped, you know. Let's tackle some questions, Doc. First question here. Hey guys, longtime loyal listener here. Questions for the show. I've been on TRT, endo supervised, he says, for 3 years now. I'm now 39 years old. The only negative side I've had is high hematocrit in the low 50s. For which I do regular phlebotomies to help keep between 45% to 48%. I've been stable for years. I challenged someone to a marathon in January, having never run a mile in my life, and started long distance training. After about 3 months into training, I drop labs and my hematocrit was 33%. Hemoglobin was 11. No symptoms to speak of. I read that there are all kinds of reasons why runners have low red blood cell counts. Is running an effective way of controlling hematocrit, or will my body just eventually ramp up RBCs to compensate? Well, good question.
Yeah. So first of all, that's a good question. And it's actually a common scenario for people who are super trained, yeah. like marathon runners, like you said, or like long distance bikers, unless they're taking EPO, of course, which they probably all are.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
but only Lance got busted for it. So yep. Anyway, that's a different topic. Long story short is, so before I really answer his question with what I'm going to say is my opinion, because I don't know if there's medical literature to back it up. But first thing I would say is that is common, but just make sure that you don't just assume that. A hemoglobin drop, of 4 or 5 grams, you know, in hematocrit drop from 48 to 33, 15%. That's a pretty decent drop. And in fact, and it is probably from what he's doing. But just make sure, you know, you're not having any, you know, you don't see any blood on the toilet paper. You don't see any flecks of blood in your stools. Maybe you want to ask your doctor to check your iron status. Get an iron panel, TIBC, ferritin, serum iron levels, because obviously and the other thing would be good was just to make sure there's some little labs sort of values that go under our hemoglobin, things like MCV, RDW, MCH. Those things can help us sort of tease out anemia to make sure it's just, let's just say, okay, anemia, you know, it's nothing pathologic. You know, for instance, if you checked your hemoglobin was 11 and your MCV was really low, that may lead us to something we would call microcytic anemia, which most common would be iron deficiency or alpha or beta thalassemia, which is a genetic problem. So I would just make sure it's not an internal problem. That's all I'm saying, which would be simple, more blood work, some iron panels, and maybe even a stool for hemocult blood.
Yeah, that's a good idea. No, that's a good idea for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, but okay. So usually this scenario is seen in people who run a lot, mm-hmm. and it's basically a delusional effect. It's a pseudo anemia, meaning your body, because of the overtraining, will compensate by increasing plasma volume in order to get the red blood cells where they need to be more efficiently, because that's how you get oxygen there, right? So his plasma volume goes up, his hemoglobin technically doesn't change, and so you draw blood and it looks low, and it's technically not. The same thing can happen if you drink too much water before your labs. In other words, you drink 3 gallons of water and go get your blood work done, you may look slightly anemic and even hyponatremic. In other words, low sodium levels.
Yes, yeah.
All from hemodilution. It's all from, you know, you increased your plasma volume with the fluids. So his question is this an effective way of controlling hematocrit, or will my body eventually ramp up, compensate? The answer is I am not sure about that. But if it makes your blood work look good and it's thinning your blood out, that's for sure. And it's lowering your hemoglobin level, but your body's doing that. So I guess the moral of the story is if you wanted to keep it that way, you keep doing what you're doing, because what's going to happen is if you go back to being, quote, a regular bodybuilder, just doing regular cardio, I'm going to say, and you're training, after three months or so, your hematocrit's going to be high again.
Yeah.
It's going to go back, because that plasma volume is going to compensate for the less need to get the hemoglobin and everything where it needs to go faster, and things are going to balance back out. So if you keep running, it should stay like that. But as soon as you stop, it probably will go back to sort of, quote, baseline. And I don't think if you're a bodybuilder or you're trying to put on muscle, long distance running is the way to keep going. So,
yeah. Yep. I literally have nothing to add to that. So, you know, once you stop and you go back to, you know, stop running altogether, that hematocrit will definitely climb back up. Or, you know, it probably never actually changed. It's just a matter of plasma volume, like you said. So.
Those are the questions I can do a better job at, as opposed to I'm on 100 a trend every other day and my nipples are leaking. Doc, do you think I should go to 700 milligrams of trambolone?
Oh, Jesus.
That's not something a doctor can really help you answer that, you know, good. So
yeah.
Those are good questions. A lot of these questions we got this week are good ones. So that's cool.
Next question. Hello, 1.69 doctors. I got that's a D plus, I think. 69.
Dude, you got a rate. You're almost to a 70.
That's almost a C. I'm okay. I'm doing good.
You're a C.
It's a lot better than 1.5, so that works.
Hell yeah.
This is a bit of
according to that lady, you're a 1. Nothing.
Yeah, I'm probably a negative, if anything.
Negative scale.
This is a bit of an abstract question, but I'm curious to hear both of your opinions on it. Do you think that knowledge of nutrition and exercise should be emphasized more in medical school in the U.S.? It is my understanding that doctors receive little to no education on nutrition. I think I might have heard that on this show, actually, and I don't believe they receive much, if any, education on exercise. I understand medical school is grueling enough already, and adding to the curriculum might create a host of problems, but I think that if doctors were more knowledgeable in the areas of nutrition and exercise, the U.S. healthcare system would be able to promote, prevent, proactive medicine rather than just reactive medicine. For example, if a new patient comes in, routine physical, it's either overweight or obese, and as a result is suffering from hypertension, and the doc also finds out about patient is pre-diabetic, in addition to prescribing medications for one or both problems, the doctor would actually best serve the patient by also having a solid understanding of nutrition and exercise, and maybe even prescribing dietary changes or cardio resistance training protocol. Instead, it is my impression that most doctors might either say nothing about patients' weight or simply say something vague and unhelpful like you need to lose weight or prescribe a bunch of insulin or whatever the fuck, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was a good question, and I'm looking at the boards, and I guess the board name is Punisher. So that's good. Thank you, Punisher.
Yeah.
I'm actually using the advices boards this time to look over the questions. I haven't been doing it. I've been copying and pasting. Now I'm starting to think maybe we could just pull it up and read them.
That's a lot easier.
It's a lot fucking easier. Anyway, so yeah. Dude, this is a personal. I mean, I agree.
I agree too. I 1,000%.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here pondering my medical school time, and I'm thinking, I don't even know if I had a nutrition course, like at all. I know is I remember learning about like diabetes, and they'd say, oh, they have to watch their glucose and check their sugars and you know, the carbohydrates. And I'm not even sure half the people in the audience probably would knew what a fucking carbohydrate is. The students, So I agree. Yeah. I mean, and he's right about you need to lose weight. And I'll even go one step further. And this is me. This is a downfall of myself. Because I was an obese person when I was young, I have a hard time telling people they're fat. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their feelings. Sometimes a patient will go, oh, doc, I know this is caused my weight. And then I'll go, yes!
you said it, not me. You're fat. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
We had one course, and it was a 4-hour. It was a 4-credit-hour course. You know, it was 5-credit-hour course, but digestive nutrition. And the digestion part was very good. Okay, there was and honestly, biochemistry is better served than this course was. You know, in understanding our biochemistry and understanding how foods work and this and that. But this is gonna basically summarize my experience with digestion and nutrition course from Palmer. We had I was already skeptical about this fucking thing because I immediately already knew more than most people in there, right? I was already I was already a diet coach at that point, you know. And one of the first things the doctor says when we start studying protein requirements and muscle building. And this is a direct quote. I'm not making this shit up. He said, protein doesn't matter. Carbohydrates build muscle, not protein. Can you believe that shit?
Oh, my God. That's at a
graduate college. This guy has a master's degree in digestive nutrition.
I got one better. I should call Big Country back in here and ask him how to build muscle. He's 11. He'll say protein, man, protein.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's like – I mean, you know, what year was this? I'm trying to think what year was this. This was in early 2000. So, you know, this was before.
Yeah, me and you did school the same exact time. You realize that, right?
Yeah. We talked about that before. Yeah, for sure. So the information was probably about the same. And there was no major, like, internet was just starting to boom at that point, you know? So,
yeah.
So, I mean, like, understanding nutrition and diet was basically select to just bodybuilders, you know? Fuck, even dietitians didn't know jack shit, you know?
Exactly, and that's what happens in a family medicine office when a patient comes in for their first new onset sugar, you know, diabetes or you know whatever, they're just obese and have high blood pressure and need to be checked. Most doctors two problems. One is they're going to just refer you to a nutritionist who probably doesn't know the right things either. Who you know,
right.
And then the second thing is, unfortunately, if you have a doctor who knows the right things to do, they're under so much pressure of time. They don't have time to write out a diet and help you really answer your questions. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's because of our system. That's not a lot of their fault. Trust me, I'm sure. Look, there's been times where I get a hold of someone and I'm like, oh my God, I could make this guy so much better if I had another hour to talk to him.
Right.
And I don't. So what do I do? I refer him to the nutrition center, which I know is going to tell him all wrong. Have 50 grams of carbs each meal. Check your blood sugar pre and post prandial. You know, all the bullshit, you know, that you know, that's not true. And then they come back 2 weeks later and they're 3 months later and A1C is still, you know, 9.
Yeah.
So I agree, man. I don't even know the answer to that. Like but I can tell you, like Veej, he remembers having a nutrition course. I don't. It may have been in my gastroenterology or my endocrinology. I don't remember that. Now, and another thing I don't remember, this is just off topic, but just kind of part of the topic is, I can tell you this, they teach nothing about anabolics. And they don't, I don't even know if it was ever mentioned, except it can kill you.
Yeah.
And they did them in the Olympics. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Look at Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson, right, yeah.
They took his gold medal.
Winstrol.
So that's that, you know, and honestly, I would say the same thing for most drugs. I think in my I think we had a course, it might have been a pharmacy related course where we did talk about like the mechanisms of cocaine and heroin and opiate and all that shit, you know, what it does and, you know, bad, blah, blah, blah. But I can tell you right now, they don't teach nothing about nutrition, anabolics, training. I don't remember any of that shit.
Yeah. You know, and
here's the answer. Tell them not to eat as much and get 30 minutes of physical exercise a day.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And oh, man, this is like a soapbox, man. I could go on for hours on this topic because
yeah.
I agree with this guy 1,000%, man. It's not that hard, you know, for a doctor look, what's the first thing that someone says when they want to start a new diet? Oh, check with your doctor first. What the fuck is the doctor going to tell you? What are they going to say? Oh, it looks good to me. Go ahead. You know, it's like they don't know jack shit because they're not taught that. And really, it really is a cure-all for most shit. You know, I mean, half these people come into to the office with whatever ailments they have are almost always directly related to food intake, you know, and to just physiology altogether because of shitty food intake, you know,
lifestyle in general, dude. Yeah, people do shit to themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, a lot of shit could definitely be prevented from a doctor's understanding proper nutrition, proper diet protocols, and it's not that hard. I mean, fuck, if I can do it, and I've been doing it since before I actually became a 0.5 doctor, you know what I mean? Then anyone can do it. You know, it's just a matter of fucking just studying it, understanding it, applying it. So they should do it. They definitely should do it. I agree, 1,000%.
Agree, 1,000%. Me too.
Hey, docs, I recently sent in the genetic diet. It says genetic diabetic question. Oh, okay. Do you remember that question, Doc?
Yeah, that's when we had Scotty on here with us.
Oh, okay, cool. Small update there. They bumped my metformin from 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams. I take 500 milligrams with breakfast and dinner, so twice a day. My fasted numbers are between 84 to 86 this week, so it's looking good there. I appreciate all your help you guys gave me there. I tried to DM Doc Ogden on Instagram, but he hates me.
No, what, really? Oh no!
But
send it again, dude. No way. I love everyone. I don't have a fucking. There ain't a person I don't like in this world, man. I'm not like that. So right. If you sent me a DM, then I fucking accidentally didn't see it, or I deleted it on accident, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah. But now I'm gonna have to get some people to vouch for me that I answer questions.
you're a lot quicker than I am. I've got my hands in like 10 things at once. By the time that I like see the question, you've already answered. You know, so.
Yeah, so. That's because of that stupid medical director job I had. Now I feel like I have to answer everything promptly.
Yeah. See, so you're good. You're good with that. But this guy's got some more questions. He said, new set of questions. Number one, recently got some blood work done. They checked my thyroid levels. The TSH serum was 1.28. From the reference ranges that blood panel provided, I am normal, but on the lower side. Should I be concerned with this? We always want to get our other hormones optimal. Is thyroid the same, or should I just leave this one alone? If not, how would you go about approaching this? T3 or T4 supplementation? We'll just start with that one because he has another question after that.
But- yeah. So, should you be concerned? No.
Nope.
I'll say this. On most tests that I read, I say normal is normal. If you're in range, you're in range. I'm not a big fan of low normal, high normal, except maybe when it comes to hormones. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's testosterone level is 278 and low is 275, yeah, I would still think they need to be treated. But thyroid, I would consider, yeah. But if you're within the range, go ahead.
But what the fuck would a doctor – like I had seen this before and it drives me nuts. Like these these guys are getting these metabolic panels done and they're only testing TSH. Like what the fuck? You know what I mean?
You already jumped ahead.
I can't stand that shit. It's like, what does that tell me? It doesn't tell me jack shit. What are his T4 levels? What are his T3 levels? What's his T3 uptake? You know, all this stuff is what's actually going to tell you whether your thyroid is functioning right or not. You know what I mean?
Checkmate, because that was my next. Should you be concerned? Not really.
Yeah.
But that doesn't tell the whole story.
No, I mean, we
see the rest of the panel. Now, I said this before. He probably, you know, if he didn't order this himself or his doctor ordered it, usually most docs, and I'm going to be honest, to save money, because TSH is the go-to screening test. It's not the sort. Right, yeah. To save money and your insurance and just the way it's laid out, most lab, you know, checkoff forms, the test will be, it'll say TSH with reflex T4, T3, meaning if your TSH is abnormal, the lab can go ahead and order the T4 and T3. So I'm assuming his doctor ordered TSH with a reflex T3, T4. And since his TSH is in the normal range, the lab doesn't run the test. So so there you go.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, it would be nice to see the rest of his, panel, his thyroid panel. And if that all fell within the normal range, whether it was high, normal, low, normal, then I would say leave it be.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wouldn't fuck with supplementing it.
No reason. Until you've got concrete evidence or even a snapshot in time, there's no reason to be fucking with your thyroid.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to do that. I mean, unless you're a competitive bodybuilder who's doing things on your own and you're dieting, you're going to put T3 as a fat burner or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, for health reasons, nah, that's unhealthy, actually. Yeah. That's real unhealthy. So,
for sure.
But we know it's done every day right now.
Yeah.
So, but long story short is, Beach, you got me. What Beach said. I generally, if this was my labs, no, I wouldn't go crazy and worry about it. But to really get to the story, to say, you know what, you're perfect, you're fine. It would be nice to see the rest of the thyroid panel.
Yep, that's the only way we can get anything done.
You jumped ahead. You points on you.
Yeah, I'm earning that 69% right now.
You might get a 70 next week.
The second part of this question is: I am done competing for the year and did a cruise to get my blood work back in order. I was wondering what you guys thought of my labs and if you think I am ready to blast again. I know Doc Ogden is going to do his laugh and then say, well, if you're not getting it from your doctor.
I have to say that. That's a disclaimer.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything should be ordered by your physician, please.
Yeah. He says, I am more looking for how do you feel my blood levels look, I guess so. He says, I know my liver is elevated and I have a long history of elevated liver levels. I have done HEP tests and ultrasounds. No problems there on either front. I feel maybe some of the liver stress could be from my liver being messed up from the periods of time I was on metformin and my glucose was all over the place. Just a thought from someone not even 0.0005, doctor.
Exactly. He might be on something there. But
He could be. I've not seen metformin, mess with liver enzymes, really.
Fun fact, it doesn't really. Generally, if there's any – if you even read the diagnosis – and we're kind of shying away from now. Generally, it's a kidney.
Right. It's a clear
That's how the lactic acidosis – can occur through kidney if your kidneys are a little bit screwed up, but you got it pulled up, right?
This is the one from the forums. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Looking at TSH level without thyroid T3, T4.
Yeah. His labs look wonderful.
There's nothing wrong.
Except for his liver enzyme elevation,
I wouldn't even bat an eye at that. You know, his AST is a little bit high, but he doesn't have GGT on here anyway, it doesn't look like.
That was one thing I was going to recommend too. Yeah. It's not on there. That would help differentiate whether this is muscle elevation or whether it was direct sort of liver damage elevation.
Yeah.
But he said he had an ultrasound and he's had hepatitis testing. That's a pretty thorough exam for liver problems. And if they're just his liver – and you know the other thing is we don't know how big this guy is. I mean, you know, if he's a bodybuilder, he might be muscled up. You know what I mean? This is probably normal from him for training. We know that, right?
Yeah. I just assume that because his bun, his BUN was increased. It's high, you know.
Okay.
He's probably training, eating protein, yada, 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 right? So,
What? I looked at the high lows real quick because I didn't scan them all. But now that you point that out, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder where his lab is, where he's from, because – his creatinine is 1.5. That's kind of high. Mm-hmm. But on this lab that he got it drawn, their range goes up to 1.6 is normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that very often. Usually 1.35 would be normal. Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, I will tell you this, that different labs, when they calculate things, they use different computers, different, I'll even get emails every now and again to remind me that LabCorp, for instance, you know, they'll say something like, doctor, we want to let you know that our new values for the AST-ALT test are going to go to 65 and 45 because of our new testing procedure or something like that. So that just goes to show. So long story short is, according to his blood work, everything looks good. To me, that creatinine's a little – I'm not worried about BUN. I don't get up in arms about that. But a 1.5 creatinine, might catch my eye. But yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, but
it's got to be with the lab.
But he may have just gotten done training or something too, you know? So it's tough to say with a creatinine level like that, you
know? And the thing is, like I said, I bet you this. We don't know what his size is. If he's muscled up, man, this is probably normal for him, and he has a high protein diet. And you know, I think as long as everything's falling in a normal range, the liver enzyme elevation, I'm with you. That doesn't scare me too much. I mean, I don't know what over the counter supplements he takes. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. He's had a workup. I would say he's probably fine to continue training or whatever he was asking about.
You know what? You know what's funny about his lab work? This I've not seen this before, but there's a glomerular filtration rate for an African American and a glomerular filtration rate for a Caucasian.
No, that's always on there. Isn't that something?
I've not seen that. I've never seen that.
Yeah, because some people probably cut it off. That's always on there. Your GFR, actually, it's crazy. You know, we're all the same, right? We're all the same, black, white, Chinese.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
according to the kidney function, we're not all the same.
That's crazy. That's so crazy to me.
There's
a
different cutoff for renal function problems with black people and white people.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, shit.
Yeah, and they have a higher incidence of renal failure.
Right, hypertension is much higher in the
African community, right? Absolutely. If you took a tour of depression and you wanted to depress yourself and you were a young black male who was ignoring his blood pressure, all you need to do is drive to three local dialysis units and look in the window.
Uh-huh, right.
And, you know, 10 people are in there. 7 of them, 10 are going to be young African-American males, unfortunately, who ignored their blood pressure. Mm. Because they can get really high blood pressure genetically, and it really strikes their kidneys hard. You never noticed that, huh? Yeah,
no.
That's definitely, that's on there.
It does make sense, though. That's funny.
It makes a difference, and it's all genetic. Yeah, so, but yeah, man, I mean, I think his labs look – they look fair. I mean, you know, I don't know the whole story. How big? If this guy's 250 and he's jacked, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all this is relative. And if he just trained the night before, stuff like that. But it doesn't look according to his labs. It all looks pretty good.
Yeah. So
I would keep an eye on the liver and the kidneys, of course.
So if he is gonna go and blast again, just you know.
What is he talking about with that?
No, no orals, all right? Just, mm-hmm. just keep away from the orals, and you should be okay. You shouldn't see a change in liver enzymes. Too bad. But anyways.
Keep checking.
Yeah. Next question here from a lovely lady listener. Hey, check this. This is cool. She says, hello. I posted in another forum before I saw this sticky, so I figured I would repost here. I recently had some blood work done where it showed an elevated A1C, 5.17%, which puts me in the lower range of pre-diabetic. I've been having blood work done since 2011 because of issues with anorexia and bulimia, but my doctor has never ordered this test before, so I have nothing to compare it to. I'm a bikini competitor for about 4 years now, so I am very active, and this test was done about a week after my most recent show, after a 10-week prep. I'm a natural athlete, and I've never used any sort of steroid or hormone, unless you count creatine, and I don't. Is there any other reason?
Neither do we.
Yeah, right. It's definitely not a hormone. Is there any other reason that this could be elevated besides just genetics? I don't see how an active 30-year-old woman could be pre-diabetic, and I've never been overweight in my life, just severely underweight. I had heard on another podcast that sometimes a vitamin D deficiency can cause this as well, but I need to have that tested, as the last time I had that done was 2011 and it was normal. And then she attaches her labs here to the post. So
these two last questions, these people actually put their labs on the forums, and man, it makes things a lot easier for
me. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's hard for me to take them over to an email for you, but just pulling them up on the computer is so much easier. So A1C 5.7, fitness competitor, bikini competitor, 1 week after a 10-week prep. And why is my A1C considered pre-diabetic? Well, a couple things come to my mind, and there's actually a lab on her labs that I wanted to point out. But the one thing before, when I looked at this question before, that I didn't really read into it, that this was a week after her 10-week prep.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that during her prep, she probably was at an all-time low in calories and sugar and and carbs, probably. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a diet coach, but I would assume, you know.
And who knows what she was eating in the next 10 days after her show. You know
what
I mean?
There you go. There you go. Now, A1C technically is a three-month test. It shows your blood sugars for 3 months. But if she finished her show and, you know, binged or went out and had a bunch of sweet meals or, you know, just for a few days really went off, pigged out, and her blood sugars were, let's say, running higher end of normal, even if they weren't abnormal, or even maybe she had a big insulin response or, you know, from the food she was eating, and maybe she did have some higher blood sugars that week before the show, maybe that could push it up a little bit. So that's just – I didn't see that part before, but some of the other things I had. Interestingly enough, her fasting glucose was actually hypoglycemic this day.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually low. So some of the other things I was thinking about with this young lady are, and a big one is genetic, man. You can't fight genes. I don't know her is it nationality or is that what
you want to be politically correct and say?
Yeah, I know I'm not. I know I'm often not fucking politically correct.
Familial history.
Sure, but you know, if you're of a you know Mediterranean descent or Indian or Mexican, any of that in your family is going to put you at risk for type 2 diabetes, even if you're apparently a beautiful, thin young lady, which according from her picture she is.
Yes.
So the other thing I don't know about is her parity. Has she ever given birth and had gestational diabetes? So we know that, after a girl gives birth and she's had gestational diabetes, even if she gets ripped and lean again, that there are some things that can lead, sort of predispose you again to getting the type 2 diabetes later in life. You know, so that's just another thing. So for me, in her case, it's either one of two things. It was maybe she was pigging out a little bit. I don't want to say that word, but you know what I mean? After her show and her sugars were running a little bit higher than they usually do. And it kind of just skewed it a little bit, to the sort of normal, or it's genetic problem. And then of course in her history, she said that, you know, she did battle sort of some eating disorder problems, you know, binging, I'm sure, you know, I don't know if she's doing that, but she said anorexia, bulimia, which to me indicates restricting, binging, purging, and those kind of things. And I don't know how long she did that for, but I would venture to guess that that may have an impact on her and, you know, sort of metabolic.
Her insulin response, for sure.
Later in life, and maybe that's the reason her blood sugars aren't always, you know, to me, she's still, I would say 5.7 is still normal, but I see her point, and that's my thoughts for her. I mean, that's what things I would look into.
Okay, so I'm looking at her lab values, and you know, we always say this on this show is, you know, your lab values is a snapshot in time. What I recommend her doing, you know, if she's concerned about, you know, her diabetic, potential diabetic issue, we know what her fasting glucose is now. I would be interested to know, like, take her blood glucose, you know, a couple times throughout the day. An hour after eating her biggest meal would be a good one. Right before bed would be another good time to check those and find your trend, you know, figure out what your trend is. As long as your blood sugars are not ridiculously high, you know, an hour after eating a big meal, or ridiculously low after eating a big meal, you know, that'll kind of tell you that, you know, insulin response is working like it should be. As long as you can keep those numbers, I would probably track that over the course of a week and just to see. And of course, you got to keep your diet normal. You know what I mean? You got to keep it.
Yes.
Keep your diet consistent while you're doing this testing out. Because if you go and have a fucking huge bowl of ice cream before bed and then check your blood sugars, I guarantee you, you're going to be seeing some triple digits. You know, so.
So it's just, gonna be
just watch it, you know, just be careful with how you are gauging this. And that'll kind of give you a way better idea of whether you are pre-diabetic or just fine, you know? So, just, you know, there's ways you can kind of check this out.
Yeah. Oh, she mentioned vitamin D level. Yes, I agree with that.
Get that checked, for sure.
But not, get that checked, because if it's super low now, And you were, listen, you were nutritionally, I mean, I assume that anyone who's dieting and going for a show, we're all sort of, your nutritional status is not great. Your vitamins are probably lacking and, you know, all that stuff. So that is a good thing to have checked, because that there obviously, she already knows this because she mentioned it, there is some correlation between, you know, insulin resistance and prediabetes and vitamin D deficiency. And she's a female who likes to diet and do shows. And, you know, low body weight, although she does probably lift weights, which is a benefit, you know, lower body weight can increase your risk for osteoporosis. So girls definitely want to be taking calcium and vitamin D anyway for prevention of osteoporosis and bone disease. So anyway, that's my thoughts on that. That was a great question. And I hope we helped. And her name was Risky on the boards.
Yes. Yes. So if you have any other further questions, and you know, after you do your blood glucose experiments, you know, with regular eating, you have any more questions, just, you know, you hit us back up on these boards. Let's do some follow-up work with you. We'll figure it out. Okay. A couple more questions here, Doc. This one comes with labs too, I believe. Says, hey docs, just wanted to say thank you for all the great info you guys share. Well, thank you for listening. I've learned a lot from listening. I found the Advices podcast about 2 months ago and have practically binged every episode since. Bits and pieces of several episodes got me thinking about some issues that my wife has been dealing with for over the last 5 or so years, and it prompted us to get her blood work done. We were hoping you might be willing to take a look at her numbers and see if there are any red flags. We are self-employed and don't have insurance, so this is something we are exploring on our own for now. She is 47 years young. Here are some of her symptoms that she's been dealing with, no particular order. She's been struggling with weight gain, feeling cold, being overly tired, numbness in her arms, restless legs at night, inability to recover from workouts, mild hair loss, achy joints, insomnia, low sex drive, foggy brain. Boy, oh boy, this poor lady. She has always been a hard worker and has never really had any issues with recovery, but lately she hasn't been able to work out. In the past, we've always lifted 4 to 6 nights a week. She's never had an issue with her body weight, but the last 5 years she hasn't been able to lose anything she gains. She has steadily gained about 5 pounds a year and is currently up to – currently up to – what's going on over there?
my phone just fell off the desk. Sorry about that.
It sounded like you were rustling. She has steadily gained about 5 pounds a year, is currently up to 150 pounds at 5'3". Her normal weight is 115 to 125. We have both been involved with bodybuilding for over 20 years. I did personal training off and on for about 10 years and am no stranger to the game. We have manipulated her calories to the point of being well under 1,000. Added cardio and done just about everything with no success. She is now starting to experience anxiety and depression, which is obviously not helping the situation. Any thoughts, ideas, or suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Labs to follow. So he sent those labs. Let me see if I can pull those labs up, because I think
they're the ones I sent on the email.
Okay. Yeah. It's a PDF, right? PDF form?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
So while you're breezing over them, I'll give you my input on her. I sort of answered this question for him, because I apologize. He had sent this in before one of our previous shows, and I could not for the life of me, and I can't for the life of me, still figure out how to take someone's labs and from a private message on the Advices forum and get them to go over to an email or something for you legibly. It's just coming out weird. So I said, oh, we'll tackle this question and help, you know, see, you know, give you some thoughts, you know, whether they help or not. And then I couldn't figure it out, and I forgot to get back to him and tell him I couldn't do it. And I meant to ask him to email them. So I actually kind of gave him my thoughts, private message, about this stuff, but we'll just mention it here. And I was able to get him to email to theclinicalmuscle@gmail.com. You can send questions there too. So anyway, a couple of the things that jumped out at me, which may or may not be jump out to other people, were some of her symptoms. First of all, I looked at her labs and nothing really was jumped out at me as a red flag.
Yes, I'm having that same problem right now.
Yeah, like, no, they're fairly normal. I mean, her testosterone for a lady was okay, but it was on
a little lower.
Yeah,
right?
It was on the lower side, maybe. So that may be something to think about. But there's a sentence in here where he's describing her symptoms. weight gain, feeling cold, being overly tired, numbness in your arms, restless legs at night, inability to recover, hair loss, achy joints, insomnia, low sex drive, foggy brain. Okay, so aside from thyroid problems, which I'm pretty sure she had a thyroid test on there, at least the TSH. I don't have them pulled up.
Yeah, she had TSH and T4 done, but you know, I would like to have known what her actual T3 level.
Yeah, was. Yeah, so that might be a suggestion. Get a full thyroid panel, including a T3 uptake and all that stuff.
Yeah, there is an uptake here, and she's like, 28%.
Oh, there is. Okay, it looks like it's normal. Okay, yeah. I see. Yep. So, and hormones don't look bad. She even had an IGF level. But to me, and she got, like he said, they're self-employed. These are some pretty basic labs. But I had mentioned to him that was concerning to me was with her achy joint, loss of hair, inability to recover. And this is just something a non-doctor might not think about is rheumatologic illnesses, autoimmune diseases. Mm. Things like lupus, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis, Lyme disease, all those kinds of things can give her they can even lead to depression. A lot of those and whether the depression's or is pathologic from the illness or from the stress of the illness like her. So I had said to him, look, I know he had mentioned that they are self-employed in labs. I think they're paying for them themselves. But to me, if she came to me with those symptoms, we did these baseline labs. And to me, I'm like, everything looks pretty good. I don't want to tell her nothing's wrong with you, you know, whatever, I would probably do a full like rheumatologic workup. I may even send her to a rheum doctor and have him do his thing with blood work, check for those kinds of diseases, ANA, Lyme disease, double-stranded DNA, all these things we do for like these other illnesses and just rule that stuff out. And honestly, that's the biggest things that came to mind for me aside from like, you know, we all get older. Our metabolism slows down. Maybe that's
kind of what I was. Is she postmenopausal then, or no? Like, is she, you know what I mean? She's 47. That's a kind of a gray area, you know.
Yeah, if she is, she's a little early for it, but she could be. I mean, you know, usually 50, 52. That's when we start to see that. But it depends on your genetics, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
If your mom got went in menopause at 50, you're gonna probably, you know, 42. You're gonna probably do that too. So yeah, right. I mean, so. That was the other thing I was thinking. Could it just be sort of, oh God, I hate to say it, man, but things get harder as we get older and mm-hmm. she's been so active. So anyway, I would recommend, unfortunately, trying to see a doctor and maybe getting a rheumatologic workup because she has a lot of symptoms of that. And that was a big red flag for me.
I wonder what her cortisol issue is. If she has any issues with cortisol, you know,
see, that's not that. Yeah, that's not listed either. So there you go. There's another.
When I think, you know, weight gain, hair loss, you know, brittle skin, that sort of thing. You know, my mind jumps to thyroid right away because thyroid is just fucking master hormone. It does all that shit, you know. But seeing as how her levels are relatively okay, nothing's real discerning. Cortisol is the next thing that kind of pops up in my mind. You know, I wonder what her sleep schedule is. She have a tough time waking up. Is she not? You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Could she be? Could that be a problem? Could she be having fatigue issues from not sleeping well? Oh, great. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And that would for sure mess with cortisol levels altogether throughout the day. Even, you know what I mean? So. This is a tough one to answer, but I mean, there's still things that need to be kind of deciphered, you know, regarding her overall health, you know, like you had said, you know, any rheumatological issues or cortisol issues. I don't know. The sleep one's a great one.
I think his you know his question was, you know, just basically take a look. Is there anything? And overall, there was no red flags on what she got done. But, you know, like Veej said, and I think we're agreeing, there's some more things to delve into, like he just summaried. And I unfortunately, you're probably going to have to follow up with a doctor for that because I think he's self-employed. They may have ordered these through like private MD labs.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a tough one. And I would try to start with those recommendations, room stuff or autoimmune stuff, like I said.
I would also be curious to know what her micronutrient intake is like, you know, because I don't know if she's been, you know, eating right at the moment, you know, with her weight gain and stuff. I don't, you know, what her diet was not kind of laid out. He said that, you know, they've been messing with their diet, with her diet quite a bit. But, micronutrients is something that bodybuilders don't take seriously at all. And they should take seriously very, very much so, even the same amount as your macronutrients. You know what I mean? You put in all this macronutrients and you don't realize you need all these other coefficients and coenzymes and co-contributors in order to digest all that stuff and to keep hormone functions level. And those are your micronutrients, man. All your, you know, vitamins, your minerals, those are essential for a reason. I don't know that she's taking any vitamins or anything, but, you know, that's another thing that could contribute to things like hair loss, brittle nails, bad skin, weight gain. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, you're making me think more now. Yeah. Vitamin D deficiency. I don't think he had a vitamin D done.
So that would be something. That would be an easy fix too, if that were the case, you know.
Get that vitamin D level checked too. Yeah. That's a good one. Because you're talking about nutrients. That's something we just talked about. We recommended for the other young lady, and that's something that could easily be fixed if it was really low and that was creating some problems.
Yeah, and also essential fatty acids. Not, and I'm not talking about just eating a bunch of nuts and this and that. I'm talking about actual EPA, DHA intermediates for omega-3s in order to convert all these other fats into actual usable omegas. So, you know, there's some stuff that you can do with your diet, too, that just to, you know, you can keep in check. Hey, maybe he's done all this. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing out suggestions because.
Yeah, I mean, we're going with what we don't have, right? Right. I mean, that's kind of part of coming up with a differential for diagnosis is kind of, you know, you got what you got. And what else could it be?
Yeah.
And they're all the things we talked about. They're the things that, you know, I could foresee with those symptoms. And I'm sure there's some rare shit we're not thinking about, but that's the gist of that.
Yeah. You know, follow up, take our suggestions into consideration and keep us posted. Let us know what's going on. I'd be interested to know. I just want some follow-up stuff going on here, you know?
Yeah, it would be good to know, if you guys come to any – if you guys get a diagnosis or you find something, those kind of cases can be super tough and they may take some digging to get the bottom of.
I mean, I've worked with women that have not been ever taking any of their vitamins, essential vitamins, their micronutrients, you know, and just from taking a good quality micronutrient, things just bounce right back, and it's quick. They feel better. They start looking better. Their hair is better. Their hair is growing. You know, they start losing body fat. So I mean, you know, and this might be a moot point because maybe they are already doing that. I don't know, but that's just a suggestion for anyone listening too. You know,
yeah, hell yeah.
Last question, Doc. He says, first off, I am on TRT and have a great doc. I told a coworker about him, but the dumbass decided to go to someone he Googled located the next country over. When he arrived, it was a shithole. A methadone clinic was being run on the backside of the building, and junkies were all in the parking lot.
Oh my God.
When he got into the
run, Forrest, run.
When he got into see the doctor, first thing the guy tried to prescribe him was Xanax for sleeping. Wow. He finally told the old bastard what he needed, and he was instructed to drop his pants. The old creep played with his balls for a few minutes, then had him lay face down on the exam bed. He stuck two fingers up my buddy's ass for a legit 30-second countdown. Oh my God. It sounds like a movie.
One that could get someone arrested.
Yeah, no. For sure. He says he explained that by massaging the prostate, he could tell if someone had low T. Oh my god! He told him everything looked fine to come back in 2 weeks and ask for a semen sample on the way out, which my friend uncomfortably declined.
What?
If you guys ever heard of something like this, no blood work, fingers up the ass. But on the bright side, the old creepy son of a bitch wrote him a script for Androgel. So that's a start. Love the show. Best show on Advices Network. Hey, I like this guy. you got to aim higher. You got to aim way higher. I'm sorry. But
you're definitely lying.
Yeah, he says you guys should share your current body part routines every now and then. I mean, I don't know what to say. What do I say?
I don't know. I mean, he obviously was on CBD.
It might have been the CBD and THC at the same time.
But yeah, this, exactly.
Whoever guy went to go see, this guy is obviously a fucking nut job. So I don't go back.
There is no way medically possible you can tell if someone's testosterone level is low by touching their prostate.
Yeah.
You could tell them their prostate's enlarged and order a PSA.
Right.
But you can't tell them that. And this is definitely not protocol. And he didn't even order blood work to check his level and gave him androgel. This is definitely not in the U.S. Or it, maybe it is. And he just, this is one of those, one of these doctors you want to run when you run into the parking lot and you see what you think may be a bunch of druggies and some freaking creepy people running around. And it's a methadone clinic and it's in the, maybe on a corner and some boarded buildings up, sounds like he'll give him what he wants, and he might want to give him something he wants too. By the semen sample, what did he ask? What was he doing? What are you going to do with that? That does nothing to do with testosterone, unless you're checking to see if someone can get someone pregnant. I mean, yeah, bro, that's a great story. Your friend got freaking raped.
Yeah, he basically
he get some androgel.
Well, that's what I was saying. He basically just prostituted himself out to get some androgel. That's what he did.
He didn't even get Cipinate. So.
Yeah, you got shitty androgel. So you got two fingers up your butthole and shitty tests. So congratulations, you made the wrong decision.
Even though this was a crazy question and a fun one, this goes back to one of the things I have a problem with. I currently have a young fellow who wants me to help him, you know, for advice with diet and how to train and this stuff. I hesitantly do that. I don't want to help people even. I have problems doing, like, this guy gave his friend advice. Go to my doctor. My doctor's good. And he does something fucking wrong. Does his own thing. So why the fuck did you ask me then? Don't even ask me that for help if you're not going to take. And now he ended up with a finger up his ass. The doctor wanted him to masturbate, and he didn't even get blood work. So that worked out.
Unbelievable. It sounds, honestly, the whole thing sounds fucking made up. You know what I mean?
He said sleeping. He wanted to give him some Xanax. Maybe he wanted him to take it in the office. But he wanted
him
to take
right. So he could instead use his wiener instead of his two fingers. I'll put you to sleep and I'll examine your prostate with the head of my penis.
Sorry, I thought that was medicine. And he tried to roofie him. Roof. Oh, I thought it was Ecstasy. That was, that reminds me, like, Bachelor Party or whatever, where he's like, it was a Bachelor Party where they go to Vegas. He's like, what you do, man? I thought it was Ecstasy. He's like, oh, it was roofies. It was roofies.
Oh, that's a Hangover. The Hangover.
Yeah. Bachelor Party was another different one. Yeah, Hangover. Yeah. I thought it was.
Oh, my God. That's fucked up. Definitely crazy. And, you know, your friend's an idiot for deciding that that's the way he wants to go.
He deserves a finger up.
Yeah, right. Anyone who makes a stupid decision like that deserves a couple fingers in their a-holes, you know?
And he said two fingers, right?
Yeah, at least two. if he was lucky.
Totally not protocol.
Nope. Someone should turn that. I bet that guy's not even a doctor. I bet he's not.
No, he probably but he said it's in another country. So this tells me that this is probably he's probably in Europe somewhere or something, like England. This guy went to a neighboring country. Yeah, somewhere where we don't have nothing here but Canada.
Mexico. We got Mexico, right?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that could happen definitely in Mexico.
You get a bunch of things in your – you go over to Tijuana, man. You don't know what you're going to get in your anus. You can get anything. Two fingers, you're lucky to get two fingers in your a-hole in Tijuana.
but see, then again, you don't need to go to the doctor to get the shit. You just walk into Pharmacia.
Yeah,
and you're good.
That's true too. Oh my God, what a mess! All right, well, that's.
I had a thought, but it went. That's my age. That's my aging. I had a thought, but it only lasted a second. It was a good one, but now
fuck! I hate that. That happens to me like every day, multiple times a day now. So
getting old, we're getting old.
That's what happens. Doc, what do you got going on, man? That's all the questions for this week. Like I said, you can submit your questions on the forum.advicesradio.com network or clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. But I think we're really liking this forum thing because we can just read them right off the forum.
You know what's
the
crazy?
The labs are right there. I'm really liking this, you know?
You know, I didn't even think to do that before. We're sitting in front of computers.
Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense. I love it. This is like, it makes my life a lot easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the labs are there. And the folks that posted their labs in their question was awesome.
Oh, I know. That's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
Makes it but so the email easier. The email is great, too, if you're just more of a private person. That works perfectly fine. I have no problem getting information from the email over to Veej, and he can look at it, too. He knows the best.
Yeah, either way is fine.
But since he's 0.69, I take care of the email.
Exactly. I can't be trusted with
He's got six fucking dogs. I only got two dogs and two children.
You have three dogs now, don't you?
Oh shit! Oh my god! See, that's my age. I forgot about Angel. How can I forget about three? That's right. Oh, I got three dogs and two children.
If I keep sending you pictures of Frodo, you're gonna end up with four dogs and two children.
Oh my god, bro! Yeah, that day you were sending them pictures, and you're like, "Send this one to Christine. Give this to Christine." You're like, she's up in the bedroom, like. I got to do it. I want that dog. Dude, she wants your dog. She's like, what's in it? That dog's one of a kind, though, bro.
He is a one of a kind. And, he's like fucking naughty as hell. Like, he looks cute and he's hilarious and he does funny shit. And I love him to death. But if you don't have like a firm hand and rule with an iron fist around, like he could potentially be a terrible dog for any family.
So he's a bit Napoleonic.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He's just, I'm pretty schooled and experienced with all these different breeds, and so it's not a big deal for me. But you know, because I understand. Pugs, I understand French bulldogs, I understand bully breeds, English mastiffs, not a big deal. But if you were like a newer owner or you weren't real strict at home, he is not the dog for you. As cute as he is, as funny as he is, you know what I mean?
But that's the reason why I've got to keep the reins on. I can't let her go off the deep edge and get a fourth one because I'd be afraid that with all the other commotion we have at Team Ogden house that we wouldn't be a good owner for that dog and it would be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, they can be. I mean, he's been great for us, but that's because I know what I'm doing, you know. But I wouldn't put that trust into someone else that I didn't know what their dog guidance skills were like, you know what I mean? So
eyes are so fucking funny.
They're he's hilarious. I love that dog.
If you guys never seen VJ's dog, go on his Instagram and just make sure you're looking at one eye because the other one's looking the other way.
Yeah, the other one's the other one's a floater. It just floats. We don't actually know what he's looking at.
He reminds me of Yoda so much, man. Yeah. Like, he just falls asleep. It's like he's like...
So he's half pug and half French bulldog.
Yeah, when I talked to you the other day, I asked you, what was it again? Because Christine was asking me, I need to know. I want that exact dog. I'm like,
you're not. You would have to literally come steal him because...
He's a good boy.
From what I understand, like all of his litter mates are like terrible dogs, but they're not terrible dogs. They're tough dogs to bring up.
Yeah, they're rascals, like you said.
Yeah, they're rascals. Then they're naughty, and most people are just like real passive with dogs. You know what I mean? They're just like, I let him do whatever he wants, and that's where the problems begin. You know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
Yeah. So Doc, are you training today or what? What's going on?
Yeah, yes, I'm going to go do legs.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, how's your glute? How's your purple ass doing?
Oh, it's fuck. I forgot about it's it's gone. It's fine. It's not even. Let me feel it real quick. Yeah, it's still a little sore.
Just the outside. Don't be sticking stuff in your anus.
No, right? God. No,
there's no androgel at Team Ogden's house, right?
No, there's other gel, but not andro.
So are you able to squat now, or what's happening?
I haven't attempted that yet. I'm sticking with the leg presses. I think it's still too sore. I can still feel it sore. I want it to be completely not sore, but the bruising's finally gone, though.
Oh, what? That's a great sign.
Dude, I still can't fucking believe that.
Yeah. It was
purple butt cheek. It was crazy. Like, it took a while for it to clear up. I was like nervous for a little bit, but then I just, you know, I was like, well, it's going to get better. But yeah, it's still sore. It almost feels a little knotty in there too, like hard, but But not terrible. I don't feel it when I'm walking, but now that I'm palpating, sort of, I can still, yeah, it's still tight in there, you know?
Yeah.
I got one hand on the mic and one hand on my left hand. You guys can get visual about that.
good times. All right, Doc, I got to get moving. It's my day off. I've got a shit ton of stuff to do, and I got to get some breakfast. We are done. It is 10 a.m., and on that note, man, the doctors are out.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.